Good. Yeah, so we're talking about the resurrection effect. Colossians chapter 2, the verse 11 through 17, New King James. In him, you also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sin of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ. 12, buried with him in baptism, in which you also raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. 13, and you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven all trespasses. 14, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. 15, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. So let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbath. 17, which are the shadows of things to come, but the substance of Christ is here. New Living Translation. When you came to Christ, you were circumcised, but not by the physical procedure. At least I've seen three circumcisions. Yeah. Very powerful. I've seen three circumcisions. Very, very powerful. Hey. When these children cry and scream, my whole body change. Very, very powerful. Checo, you see the thing? Very, very powerful. The Bible says that we, when you came to Christ, you were circumcised not by the physical procedure, but Christ performed a spiritual circumcision, the cutting away of your sinful nature. For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with him you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God. Hey, the mighty power of God, the Kratos. The word mighty in the Greek is Kratos. You trusted the Kratos power of God. The Kratos power of God is the power of God that shows off. It's like God coming and say, look at me, look at my muscle, look at my muscle. It's that power of God, a demonstration of the power of God that God does to prove that he is God and to showcase who he is. It says that we trusted the mighty power of God, who raised Christ from the dead. 13. You were dead because of your sins, and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away, then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all your sins. He canceled the record of charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he dismantled the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. So don't let anyone condemn you for what you eat or drink, or for not celebrating certain holy days or new moons, ceremonies, or Sabbath. 17, for these rules are only shadows of the reality yet to come, and Christ himself is that reality. I'm not going to speak long, but these are a few things I want to say to you about the resurrection of Jesus Christ and how powerful it is. For all this while, I think and I know many of us would have believed the doctrine of baptism. Am I correct? Today her name was in my mind, and now the name is not coming. Jochebed, be careful. We have believed the doctrine of water baptism, isn't it? And to some extent, it's been taught to us that when you get baptized and you rise, it is one, dying, Romans chapter 6, and being raised is resurrection. And it is true. And some people have felt that if I don't get baptized, that's death. And resurrection is not complete. Now, let the Lord open your eyes in just this scripture for one moment. I'm going to read it again. Just listen to something that happened to you and I. The day you gave your life to Jesus Christ, both the death and the resurrection happened instantaneously in you. Listen, and as I read again, please pay attention. I said I'm not going to talk long, so that is my number one point. The resurrection effect brought dead men to life. Now, before I read, there are three types of death. There is a physical death, there is the spiritual death, and there is the final death. Final death, let me take it from that angle. Final death is when men will go to hell. Yeah. So anybody hearing the sound of my voice who is not born again, and I know people will be listening to this recording many, many years from now. If you have not given your life to Jesus Christ, you are on the pious high road to hell. And it is not being said to frighten you, but it's being said to make you aware of your need for salvation. So there is final death, and the book of Hebrews says, it is appointed to man to die once, and after that, judgment. What Hebrew is referring to is that physical death that brings man to the judgment throne. So there is a final death, and then there's a physical death, which many of us here would have known of and have seen people we love, people who are dear to us, who would have passed on. Then we have spiritual death. When Adam and Eve, I don't want to do this thing long, but it's coming out. When Adam and Eve sinned against God, death happened instantly. They died. They were still active. They were not in hell. They died spiritually. The spiritual death that we're talking about is the death of the life of God in man, or the removal of the life of God in man as a result of sin being introduced into the world and the life of man. Now, there is a word that was used by Peter, and I can't locate the scripture readily, but the scripture goes like, "Beloved, I do not want you to be ignorant of these things." And he used the word ignorant. In certain translation, the word forget. Do not forget of these things. It's in the book of, I think, 2 Peter. Do not forget. That word forget means to allow the faculties of your spirit to be separated away from God. Hear me. When man died, inside a human being's spirit, who has seen man's spirit before? Where is man's spirit? Out of the belly. Man's spirit is believed is somewhere here. Some people believe it's somewhere here. But when man died, the faculties of his spirit withered away from God. And what are these faculties? There are three things that is found in your spirit that allows you as a spirit man to communicate with spirit God. There is in man what we call the communion. You have what you have in you, that commune. That is why you can be quiet, but you are communing with God. There's an aspect of your spirit. It has three components, just like the soul of a man. And the soul of a man is made of emotions, will, and something. I've forgotten. Sorry. I've forgotten. There are about three things. Is a soul. The soul is made of will and emotions and the mind. Yeah. Emotions, the mind, and the will. Your intellect. But your spiritual intellect, your spiritual faculties that was separated from God, or our spiritual faculties that was separated from God, was in this fashion. One, our communion was removed. So we are unable to commune and connect with God again. There is no link and there is no communication. When the Lord speaks, unless by his power we cannot hear, we are not aware of the sinful realm anymore, because we are dead in our trespasses and sin. Then also in the man's spirit is what we call the intuition. You know, I just know something I can't explain. It's called intuition. And then the other one, it has disappeared. Intuition, communion, is gone. But all the three got withered away from God. So man became separated and instantaneously dead as a result of sin. Communion, intuition. I was meditating on it. However, let's read scripture. The resurrection had a serious effect on us the day we came to Jesus Christ. So I'm reading the scripture again, because I'll identify about three, four things. And this is the first one. One, we were dead. We have come alive. Now somebody will say, before I even read, somebody will say, but why do believers also die? Yes. The Bible says about 70 to 80% of the time when the Bible refers to the believer dying, he uses the word falling asleep. There are some people who die well. There are some people who do not die well. Yeah, you have to die well. If I'm a worldly man, I'll run to Christ so that I die well. Because dying well starts with coming to Christ. When you die in Christ, you die well. Bible describes you as having fallen asleep. Now, you know in the book of Acts, when was Stephen stoned? In what chapter? Chapter 6 or which? Chapter 7? Chapter 7. That was when he started reciting the history of Israel and talking mysteries. And then people charged on him. And then he said, "For I see the Lord at the right hand of the Father on the throne." And they gnashed their teeth, charged on him and stoned him. And when you read that verse, he said, "And he fell asleep." While they were beating him with lead pipe in India, believers are beating with lead pipe. Why they were beating him? The man just fell asleep. I've been telling you, go and watch the movie The Braveheart. Who has not watched The Braveheart? Look for The Braveheart, watch it. You will love it. There's a scene in The Braveheart that is so beautiful. They are coming to kill this man, Mel Gibson. I can't remember the name in the movie. And he married a lady and they killed the lady. So the lady is dead. Christ died and resurrected. Now here is Mel Gibson. They're about to kill him. And at some point they gave him something to take so that when they inflict pain on him, he shouldn't feel it. A friend gave something to him. He hid it under his tongue. When the friend left, he removed it and put it behind him or somewhere. Because he says that he of necessity must feel the pain of the dying of Christ. I'm using that to illustrate a thing. So Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, the verse 10, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conform unto his death. Now, at the point when they cut his head off, when they slash his head off, he was not in pain, even though he didn't take anything to numb him. He was seeing the beloved, and he was reaching out and smiling and they chop his head off. What a beautiful way to die. Some people don't die well. Let a worldly man return to Christ so that you can die well. So about 90% of the time, believers are referred to having fallen asleep. Believers don't die. This body goes into sleep rehearsal and full rest. Now, look at the scripture. When we came to Christ instantaneously, when our sin, so you don't need to be put in water and raised in water before you can experience the cleansing of sin and the resurrection. But when your sin was forgiven and you came to Christ instantly, look at the things that happened. Jesus dealt with the root of the matter. Number one, 11. I'm reading New Living Translation. When you came to Christ, you were circumcised instantly. What was the circumcision about? But not by physical procedure. Christ performed. Christ himself became a wanzam. He became a wanzam in the spirit. And Christ performed a spiritual circumcision, the cutting away of your sinful nature. So when we came to him, one of the first things he did for us is to take the wanzam blade and he went in the spirit and removed the foreskin of the sinful nature. In fact, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the death of sin. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, the death and the resurrection is the death of sin. Sin has been destroyed. The powerful force that dragged us down has been destroyed. When you read 1 John chapter 5, the verse 18, may the Lord help us. We may stumble, but may the Lord help us. Amen. We may fall, but may the Lord help us. Amen. So that when we step into this understanding, we'll become bold and stronger and overcome every single sin and temptation in our lives. The Lord help us. Amen. 1 John chapter 1, the verse 18. It says that, for we know that he that is born of God. Now, if you were here last Friday, I explained how we were born into God. If you were here, I explained how we were born into God. He was pierced to the side of his body, and Bible said blood and water gushed out. That was the cutting of covenant. Whereas God was cutting a covenant, because covenant is sealed with blood. When the covenant is sealed with blood by God, at the same time, just like a woman will, in the labor ward, the amniotic fluid will break and blood will come, the same way which is signified the birthing of a child, the same way Christ, when he pierces the side of his body, we receive our being born into the life of Christ. And the Bible says, for we know, this is certainty, it is with us, it's sure, that he that is born of God does not sin, and the evil one cannot touch him. Maybe let it sink into your spirit. For we know, are you there? 1 John chapter 5, 1 John chapter 5, the verse 18. It says, for we know that he that is born of God does not sin, and the evil one cannot put his hand on him. This is the circumcision of our flesh. Let's read on verse 12. For you were buried with Christ. Now, it says when you came to Christ, you were buried with Christ. Let me ask, how many of us have been baptized in water? Edwin, have you been baptized in water? Not yet. You've been baptized in water. I better baptize in water. All of us. Michelle, baptized in water. Dorcas, baptized in water. Now, you've not been baptized in water. If not, we'll go to the dam site this afternoon. The eunuch said, Oga, here is water. What happens? Now, assuming you've not been baptized in water, hear the word of the Lord. When you came to Christ, you were buried with him. Romans 6 says that when we get baptized, we are buried with him. But the Bible says that when, this is the actual thing that happened, when you gave your life to Christ, instantly you went to the grave with him. You were in the grave with him. I was in the grave with him. It says, for you were buried with him when you were baptized. Baptized into what? Baptized into Christ's death. When you came to him. And the Bible says, and with him, You were raised to new life because you trusted. Now, do you see how it happened? Because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. 13. You were dead because of your sins. And because of your sinful nature, you were not yet... because of your sinful nature was not cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all your sins. Can you imagine? So our resurrection experience is when we're forgiven our sins. It's not at the point when we went into water. And I am not disputing water baptism. What I'm saying is that water baptism is like standing publicly and making a public declaration of where you stand, dead and resurrected. And it is emphasizing, enforcing. It's coming into the spiritual ritual of death and resurrection. However, this is a reality that when you gave your life to Christ, instantly he cut off the flesh. And he forgave your sin. By forgiving your sin, death and resurrection happen instantly. So this is resurrection morning. And dead men are coming out of their graves. Because when he died and I believed him, I went into the grave. And so you see, Jesus Christ could have turned up at any time around this guy's grave. Lazarus. Jesus stand up and he says, I am the resurrection and the life. Martha or somebody was saying that by now he's smelling. He said, no. I am the resurrection and the life. He said, but we thought the resurrection will happen. He said, no. I am now the resurrection and the life. I am now, not tomorrow, the resurrection and the life. So you who is sitting here, who goes to the market, you are frustrated by water problem, electricity problem, and mosquitoes and everything. You have the resurrection power at work in you. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, it says that the eyes of our understanding will be enlightened, that we will know what is the hope of our calling, what are the glorious riches of our inheritance in Christ, and what is the working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ Jesus. When he raised him from the dead, the same power he applied unto him, having raised him and caused him to sit above thrones, dominions, and powers beside him in the heavenly places. The working of his mighty power is in you. You are going through frustration. The working of his mighty power is still with you. It is left with how we can understand and know how to turn that thing on. I don't want to drag it. I said, number one, dead men came alive. Grave clothes are removed. It says that when he forgave our sins, all our sins, he said, then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins. 14. I'm going to point two. 14. He canceled the record of the charges. Say, in the name of Jesus. Every charge or charges that has been brought against me. Hear the word of the Lord. The one that brought the charge and the charge. Who can bring a matter, a case, a charge against God's elect? Who can do this? For the Bible says, he canceled. If they say something is canceled, do you understand? Have you written exams before and they canceled the result before? Me, I've not experienced it before. I tell you a story. In my accountancy exams, there was one particular paper I wrote. I remember when I was writing the paper, just when I submitted the paper, I remembered that there was a particular question. We used to call it, I don't know, I can't remember the title we used to call it. I think it's a shareholders fund. In accounting, shareholders fund would be capital, profit, revaluation reserve, and co-minis. Sorry, you don't understand what I'm talking about. It's jargon. But when we say shareholder, let's say you're a shareholder in a company, we say all your wealth. Number one is the capital you contributed. The share, you know, you bought some shares, so you contributed capital. Now I'm teaching accounting now. Yeah. Then number two, after the business did well for a period of time, it made profit or loss. You know, so So that one, we call it retained earnings or profits at the end of the year. Profits, retained earnings is all the profits previously and the profit this year added together. So that is also part of your money. Because the one who gave the loan, do you know what he does? He says, give me collateral. Yaboko shaka. He said, give me collateral before I give you. And if the business collapses, the first thing that he will do is that he will invoke to take the collateral. But the one who is a shareholder does not take collateral. So his benefit is the totality of the business, good and bad. So whether profit or loss is added to shareholders' fund. Then let's say there is this building. It belongs to the business. And then they brought a valuer to come and value it and look at the price, the current market price. And it is so, so, and so, and so, and so, and so. It's bigger than when we first built it, isn't it? So that difference too, we are bringing in, it belongs to the shareholder and communities. When I was writing the exams, I made a mistake. Just when I submitted the paper, then I came to myself that, I should have included something. I should have included something in that schedule. I was worried I'll fail the paper. So I came when we started praying. I want to talk to you just briefly about cancel. When they say something is canceled, when they say something has been canceled, maybe you don't know, they say something has been canceled. It changes a man and a woman's story. He blotted out the handwriting. Every requirement that was against you and I, standing in the way, making sure. So in my mind, I'll fail the paper. Then I called one of my friends, Wisdom. I said, let's go and pray. We went praying. I said, listen, the paper I wrote, A, B, C, D, happened. And he said, let's pray about it. One day I had a dream. Before the result would come, I had this dream. I was walking in a very, you know, when you see some of these photos of some foreign Hawaii, you see some nice path. Sometimes it's a lorry, it's a street in between some green plantation. Beautiful. I was walking in between something like that. And then I got to a place and I met a man. And the man took me forward a little and took me into the forest and brought out a certain paper. And I saw something like shareholders fund, schedule on it. So we canceled that thing I inserted. When the paper came, I had 67 or 77, something like that. We canceled the thing. So the one who marked me would have marked me correct and not include that thing in the matter. I have seen debts canceled. I have seen somebody who is earmarked to go to jail canceled. I have seen somebody who was caught in Britain that she stayed illegal. She has lived in Britain 30 years without document. And the matter now landed in court and back and forth. This end of the story was that, bro, they have given it to me. When the Bible said he canceled every handwritten requirement, number one, the first requirement was the law of Moses. That is obey, comply, or be punished. What he did was that he canceled all the requirement and the punishment that would have come to effect. That is why the men who died, who believed in him, who did not see him, when his blood touched the ground, they also resurrected with him. Because in the forgiving of sin is the resurrection experience. And Bible said they went through Jerusalem witnessing to people, went to preach. We are part of the testimony of his resurrection. Every handwritten code. Number two. Some of the handwritten code is about stool spirits. It's about pots in our families. That everybody's name is in it. I remember I went with Bernard one night to go and minister at Malam Junction. The pastor has contacted me. He said, man of God, send me your number. I want to talk to you. Maybe we shall go again. And I picked a couple. I think they were just about the people I ministered to throughout that all night. And I picked this man and I began to prophesy to him. I'm saying that you will not go to jail. You will not go to jail. I am right now in Cape Coast and I am seeing a stool and I'm seeing money under the stool. And this money belongs to you. And something about bank loan they took and all. And you see the man and the wife. Amen. 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 Listen, In our families, there are handwritten codes. There are things that have been said about us because in the DNA of the family, something has been positioned. This is the way the family will go. This is what will happen to the family. So you have this thing called bloodline. But Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Behold, it says, see it, my brother, my sister. Behold, behold, see it, know it, live with it, that the old is gone, is cut away. He cut up the sinful flesh and he removed the handwritten code, went to the cross, nailed it to the cross. What does it mean? The handwritten code was in the way, preventing people from coming, arriving at him, from life being. Listen, as you stand in the resurrection power today, everything that has been written against you is removed.
Amen.
He blotted out. The word means something written by the hand or a manuscript. Something written by Moses' law is removed. Appointed for many to imprison them is removed. He brought fulfillment of that thing into your life. So the poverty became riches. So Revelation says that worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and honor. Let me talk again about another thing. The handwritten code was against us. It stood against us. It opposed us. Ephesians chapter 2, the verse 15. Let me read some beautiful scripture to you quickly. Today I said I didn't want to do preaching. I just wanted to be a good boy.
Okay.
But we had two services this morning. We had a prophetic session. Plus, hey, we had two services. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 15 down. Listen. It says, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. 16, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. 17, and he became and he came and preached peace to us who were afar off and to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. The ordinance and the requirements that will prevent you and I has been removed by the resurrection. I don't have time. So before that resurrection will happen, there went an angel, the hopeless shook, and he removed the stone of tradition, the stone of the law from the grave. And the man resurrected and left. And having resurrected, he brought men into manifestation of this reality. He could sit. This is what Jesus did to you and I. He could now manifest to man, eat, sit with man, be felt. So he has made a signature that ordinary men can experience resurrection and still be in this mortal flesh and walk powerfully. I pray in the name of Jesus that the resurrection life will work in you.
Amen.
The resurrection life will work in you.
Amen.
The ordinance that have been contrary, operated against you, is removed.
Amen.
The way is open.
Amen.
The way is open.
Amen.
The way is open.
Amen.
He has created access to us.
Yes.
And finally, he made a public spectacle. Let's read that verse. He made a public spectacle, the verse 15 of Colossians. It says, in this way, 14, let me start from 14. He canceled the record of the charges against us. Who is he that can bring anything against God's elect? Who is charging you? Aha. I said, I've done a teaching, I've started, I've not finished. The title is, All Evidence Taken Away. And when the Bible, when I say Bible, no. When we say all evidence taken away by the experience of death and resurrection of Christ and forgiveness of sin, one, he has removed your sin and my sin far from himself and us, as far as the east is from the west.
If I tell you go to the east right now, you go and arrive somewhere in Koforidua, then you go to Tafo, then you say you are in the east. And I say, no, I want you to find me the east. So for you, have lived in Koforidua before. Have you seen the east before? You only live in Koforidua. Ghanaian says it's called east. As far as the east is from the west, what it means is that nobody can find your sin. Inside the realm of hell and in heaven, when you go and open the record and you check and you type your name in the computer, when it comes up, you don't see anything about the sins of yesterday, about the sins of the fathers, and about the sins of today, and about the sins of tomorrow. But that has not a permission that tomorrow we shall frivolously go and sin because we have grace. Because he cut away the power that makes man to sin. This is a mystery in which the Lord should empower us to walk in. He has removed. All evidence is taken away.
Yes.
Your grandfather's evidence that he brought, he says that all my children shall serve this idol. Now you are not serving. The idol wants to punish you. The idol has no evidence because all evidence is taken away.
Yeah, right.
Anything, I declare, listen, even if you have a court case, all evidence is taken away.
Amen.
Let me end this way. We had this sister, she came to give her testimony and she's in U.S. In fact, this morning I remembered her. She's in U.S. and she went to a shop to buy some things, only for her to make a mistake and not swap baby diapers. How many baby diapers can you carry? Alma, you have gone to the shop in the States. I have not been there. For thou man of God, me also desirest that I shall be in. Can you imagine you are greeting people? Where comest thou from and goest? Goest thou? What eateth thou and meanest thou? What kind of English is that? I can imagine those days when they are talking, they will be walking like this. Where meanest thou? Because it goes with an ascension. I'm sure you've gone to the shop. I don't know how they will package these kind of things. But she made a mistake and didn't swipe. Is it two baby diapers? She got to the check security post and they arrested her. She said while she was standing, they called the police. Hey, and said where she lives is a predominant white community. They called the police. They took fingerprints there and there and there and then they started filling court documents. Hey,
right now,
what is this? So I was there, my phone kept ringing. Abena, as for her, I think I need that Obinim's anointing that left him. but Nehemiah said, read the Bible. Nehemiah said, there was this guy who went to remove all, you know, in the house of the Lord, they had in it, where the Bible said, bring into the house of the Lord so that there will be meat in the storehouse. There was a storehouse in the house of the Lord where they stored food and everything. One guy went to marry a foreign woman and then used that place as the bedroom. The whole church collapsed. So when Nehemiah returned into Israel, he said, if you don't get out of that place, I will lay my hands on you. Modern English, the way I will sign you and slap you. So Abna kept calling me. Eventually, when I pick, he said, Brahma, I said, what is going on? He said, Mama says she has been trying to call you. I said, I've not seen anything. What is the matter? He said, the senior sister went to the shop and ABCD, as I narrated, happened. I said, so what are they saying? They said, they have processed her for court. I said, tell her to call me. Give my number, tell her to call me. I was there, she just called. And when she called, you see, God knows us. Sometimes you'll be going through problems and you go to a prophet. You think that the prophet, you'll be like Naaman. The prophet should talk about my situation, but the prophet will be talking about something else. I've experienced it severally. When she called me, I said, Madam, I want to know something. I don't want you to talk. I want to know something. Are you a nurse? She said, I'm a nurse. I said, if you are a nurse, this matter in which you have found yourself, you have been acquitted and discharged, and you are a free woman.
Thank you.
The next 3 months or so, we will now begin to pray. She is going to court back and forth. She went to court on this day, and the judge says that
all evidence brought against you cannot be found. Friends, I'm here to declare against you. Every evidence brought against you, any altar holding onto the evidence, all evidence has been taken away, and all record and computers in heaven and in hell, in water, in sea, in everywhere has been updated with your new information. For it says, for their righteousness is of me. All evidence taken away. You can stand on this matter and change your story. Hey, you can, this little phrase, you can stand on it and argue a case. It says in Isaiah chapter 118, it says that if your sins be like crimson, it says, come, let us reason together. Isaiah 41, 20, 21, it says that, come, let us reason together. State your case so that you can be acquitted and discharged. Listen, the courtroom drama. One day I have a preaching, the courtroom drama. Jesus Christ, the lawgiver. Jesus Christ, our defense. And I'll begin to demonstrate and how Satan, you will love it. My God, we are free. We are free. Friends, I declare to you, you are free indeed.
Amen.
No evidence is being held against you anymore. Amen. The records have been updated. Your story have changed. When she went, the judge said, no record. So you are free. Wow, this is a lady who didn't want to have anything doing with any man of God. Oh. I'll be there, then she'll send me $100. I'll be there, she'll send me $100. When we're coming, I said, send some money. She sent, is it $200 or something dollars to add to the things that we did here. In fact, she was in Ghana. She visited Ghana that particular time when we were moving here. I brought her. She came to meet me. I brought, this place was dirty. I brought her. We came to see the place. Listen, every charge against you has been removed. Death has been replaced with life.
Amen.
By the same manner, anything that has been assigned to you to take your life, that thing has been postponed. Can I give you the last testimony?
Okay.
Jochebed. I've just found that medicine. It works. Yeah, it works. I called one politician about 2 weeks ago. I met this politician somewhere, and she was talking to me. While she was talking, the Lord opened my eyes. But I didn't feel like God has given me permission to say the things that I will say. So I kept quiet. But it was a serious matter. And when that thing happens, it will distract her. She will be distracted, very distracted. She cannot push the way she has to push. I went home. I think I was upstairs doing something. The Lord showed me the thing again. The next day, I came back from work. I was eating. While I was sitting at the dining, the vision opened and I saw the thing again. Then the Lord says, call her and talk to her. And I forgot again. Three times, the matter is serious. I said, Asem Naek is here. So it was a Sunday evening. I was going to work. Then I called her. I said, I want you to do something. I'm not going to give you details because I don't want to frighten you. But this week, the particular day I was talking, I said, from that day to Sunday, I'll talk to you on Monday. From that day to Sunday, I want you to fast, even if it's 6 to 12. Pray for your mother. Because what I'm seeing, when it happens, you'll be distracted. Do you know that I was in the office after some hours? I got a call immediately. He said, Daddy, please, I am with mommy right now, and what I'm seeing is not good. What I'm seeing is not good. Then I started laughing. All evidence have been taken away. I said, listen, the Lord has revealed. The records are updated. Everything is signed and sealed and done. The next thing I heard was, Min told that she was in a meeting somewhere, and she even have left the woman, and she's in a meeting for days, not 2 days or days. That which the Lord do, every record of death planted against you this month, next 2 years, next 5 years, until you have fulfilled your purpose and calling,
and the Lord says it is finished, we say never in the name of Jesus. Every covenant of death received the update of the record. Jesus died and we died with him. He rose and we rose with him. For the Bible says, oh death, where is your power? Oh grave, where is your power? Oh death, where is your power? Oh grave, where is your strength? For the power of death is the sting that comes through sin. Sin has been cut away, so the believer does not die. You cannot die foolishly. I cannot die foolishly. God bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.